Hello and welcome to the Program Your Life podcast. Come with me on a journey of self-exploration, overcoming obstacles, and learning to believe in yourself. I'm your host, Joe Parker. Join me and my beautiful wife, Kimberly, as we explore what it takes to achieve our dreams, overcome our fears and doubts, and have some fun along the way. It's sure to be a roller coaster ride, and we are happy to share it with you. Now stay tuned for an exciting episode of the Program Your Life podcast. So what were you saying about contribution?
I was saying something that I read in Kevin Hall's book, Aspire. He says that Stephen Covey, who is a trusted mentor, recently shared with him his personal motto that serves to keep his vision clear. That motto is live life in crescendo, which means to constantly look forward. It means that your greatest work and contribution is always ahead of you. The philosophy places the emphasis on contribution. While achievement has a beginning and an end, contribution is ongoing and enduring. If you focus on contribution and not achievement, he concluded, you will always achieve more than your wildest dreams. And that is a quote on page 104 in the book Aspire by Kevin Hall.
Yeah, so you've been reading that book and you've been finding it to be really powerful.
Inspirational, yes.
Cool. And you've been applying it to what you're seeing for your play and preparing for the second show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. I've been applying it to how I want to bring this message, shedding light on this silent epidemic that is hearing loss, and help people understand it because it's so misunderstood and there's not a lot of education about it. And I'm doing that through the vehicle of theater for transformational change, and it's making a positive difference in people's lives. And I'm hearing from testimonials from people that it's changing their perspective and even empowering them to make some changes in their life, to consider the people that they have in their life with hearing loss, how can they be more empathetic and understanding and helpful and inclusive, to include those people in their lives, because it is so isolating. And also it's inspiring people to take action and support those people and getting help or helping themselves. And that is thrilling to me, that by watching this play, it is creating positive, empowering results in people's life. That's why I wrote it. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled that it's doing what I was hoping it would do, and that I'm contributing in that way, and that I'm doing what I love, which is performing and writing and making a difference in people's lives. That's just doesn't get any better than that. And so in terms of contribution and how do I get this out there to more people, because I'm playing to 100-seat audiences now, and I would like to play to thousands and tour around the country. And if this is making a difference to several people in an audience of 100, then it's going to make a big difference to, you know, hundreds of people in an audience of 1,000. That's what I want to do. As I was visualizing in my meditation this morning, I was visualizing how that ripple effect of positive change and empowerment can help so many different people take it even further and make changes in legislature to support people with hearing loss. In particular, I was thinking of how insurance companies don't cover hearing aids and how so many people could benefit from hearing aids and don't have them because they can't afford them. That right. They have to come up with that money out of pocket. And it's around average $5,000. You know, it can range from $2,500 to $7,000 or $8,000 for a pair of hearing aids.
And they only last, what, 5 years?
5 to 7 years. They need to be replaced. And insurance companies need to pay for that. Most people are not aware of that. And so when they do go for help, they're shocked and surprised. So I thought, with this information becoming more aware, that more people get involved to make some changes in the laws so that more people can get help. And so I see this as having a great impact in a variety of ways and being a catalyst to more social change in a really unique form, because it's an experience to go into the theater and watch a play that inspires you, that informs you, that moves you, and on a topic that matters to you, and then to leave the theater having had a cathartic experience that makes you leave thinking, and then to take action based on that is really, really powerful. And so that's why I want to get this out to, you know, as many people across the country as I can, in hopes that they'll take that information and go out and make more changes. And this ripple effect of positive change will happen, and thousands and thousands of people can benefit from it.
Right, and that theaters and venues across the country will make an effort to make the places more accessible.
Yes.
For people with hearing loss, putting in loops,
induction
and FM
loops.
Systems, mm-hmm. and you know, real-time captioning, making sure that their shows have those kinds of
accessibility to all, and
right,
that's
exactly.
Inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's one of the things that you're doing with your show, the second show, you know, making a couple of really big steps with accessibility, doing the FM systems, and also captioning the entire show,
mm-hmm.
having the subtitles up for the whole show. I mean, those are two huge steps, and I know it's not cheap to do that stuff. It's going to cost quite a bit of money to rent the equipment just to do that.
Well, I'm blessed to have a dear friend who has volunteered his time and equipment for this particular show. In the future, that will be an expense. And while it's cost some money, it's not as expensive as people think. And I think that's what keeps theaters from pursuing accessibility, is this idea that it's so expensive and out of their scope of resources. And it's really not. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, because I believe if more theaters got on board with this, especially with the baby boomers experiencing more hearing loss as they age, that they would actually benefit, that they could actually increase their sales by having theaters that are accessible and making that information known and drawing in bigger audiences, because people can hear and know what's going on. And the reason people don't go to the theater is because they don't have accessibility.
Right. The only place for people with hearing loss right now to watch a movie so that they can understand it is at home on their big screen TV, and you turn the captioning on. That'd be the only place right now for a lot of people to be able to do that. So you can't go out to the big theaters and get that experience.
Actually,
on a consistent
that has
basis.
Changed. That has recently changed. More theaters are accessible now with the introduction of digital film. Many theaters have switched over to captioning abilities because of digital film. So theaters now are offering, not all theaters, you've got to go check in and find out what theaters. And if you go to CaptionFish, I think it's CaptionFish.com, online you can find what theaters are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
There's technology in the form of these glasses that you can wear and read the captions on the glasses. So the glasses are closed captioning, so the rest of the audience doesn't see that. The person with hearing loss is reading the captions on the glasses so that they can go to movies. Although I don't know that many people are aware of that technology. Obviously, you didn't know that was out there now. So that is available.
I've seen it, but I've also seen that not all theaters are supporting it.
And you're right.
A limited number of devices. And I think our experience is that even the people at the theater don't really understand how it works, have a tough time assisting so that you can use it.
Yeah. It's a learning process. Anytime something new is introduced, people are learning, and they're on the learning team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than it was. So this is advancement. This is growth. This is heading in the right direction. And with time and understanding, it will grow and get better and better. And the more people know about it and the more it gets used, the technology will improve.
But still, I mean, they don't even have, like, a loop at the ticket box. So when you step up there and you want to see the show and you want to find out if they've got this kind of thing. Talking through the glass window when you've got hearing loss, especially when you're standing outside in a line, that's not very conductive to getting people with hearing loss into the theater and, you know, limited number of devices. Some people are just going to be intimidated to even walk up and ask because it's just too difficult for them to communicate.
Right. And induction loops are the latest technology, and there's different cities across the country that are doing campaigns to raise awareness for induction loops. It's actually a technology that's been around for a long, long time. And it's an excellent, fabulous technology where there's electromagnetic field that is placed with an antenna around a room or a theater. And that when you step into that induction loop, if you have a telecoil in your hearing aid or your cochlear implant, you can turn it on. And then sound is delivered straight to your ears.
Well, they even have, like, small little ones that are a couple of feet wide.
Yes, they do, so that you could talk to a teller at a bank or at the supermarket.
At the box office.
And they have these in Europe. All over, many places are looped. And so we'd like to see that happen in America.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are not aware of the technology. And so getting involved and learning about it is key. And one of the best ways to do that is the Hearing Loss Association of America. Is a great, great resource for people to learn more about what's available technologically and also to learn communication skills and self-advocacy skills for their loved ones and for themselves.
Well, if you think about it, when you walk up to the box office of a movie theater, you got glass in front of you with a sliding window. It's like coming up to a bank, right? But they're talking into a microphone most of the time, pushing that speaker to you. They could very easily connect that to a little loop that you stand in if you're someone who has hearing aids with an induction loop. So most of the technology they need to do that is already in place. They've already got the ability to broadcast the sound. All they need is the ability to put it into a loop. You know, they could put it above you. They could put it below you. They could even probably just transmit it from across the glass. It's amazing, actually, how secure their box office windows actually are. It makes you kind of wonder, why the heck the box office looks like a stronghold, you know? So it makes it so difficult for people to communicate with them. I mean, it's only like, what, $10 they're getting from you or $15? It's crazy the way they set it up. But they could very easily add very small loops, and it would cost them, what, a couple $100 for each teller window or, you know, box office window to put a little loop system in there. And think of how far that would go for inclusiveness for people and how many more theater goers they could get if they were welcoming to that, you know, not just in the theater, but as you walk up and, you know, order your tickets. I think they've got a long ways to go. I think they're making some positive steps. Certainly applaud what they're doing. Like to see more, wouldn't you? And not only just, you know, movie theaters, but performance theaters. So what else is going on right now that you're enjoying and is feeling inspired by?
I am real excited to be going to Santa Fe on March 2nd to work with Tanya Rubinstein, who's an amazing solo performance coach. She's a professional that's dedicated her life to solo performance for the past almost 20 years. And has directed over 100 solo performance shows and has written and performed in her own solo performance shows. And I am thrilled to be under the tutelage of this inspiring, talented, creative woman and bring my play to the next level. And so when I get back from that one-on-one, 4 days of working privately with her, I will put the finishing touches on my scripts with some edits and, you know, have a deeper understanding of the characters and transitions and just making this an excellent, excellent play. It's really, really good the way it is, and I know it can be even better, and I'm really excited to just make it shine and then do it again. I plan on doing a third performance. I haven't set a date yet. You know, I'd like to get it over in Seattle. Right now, I've been doing my performances here in Paulsbo at the Jewel Box Theater. And I'd like to get over to the Seattle area and do some venues there. And also, I'm submitting my scripts, or my script, to two different theaters.
Yeah, tell me more about the festivals and the contests you're going to submit your script to.
I don't know if they're contests. They're solo performance festivals, and there's two of them in New York City, and I just decided to go to New York. I thought, where's the greatest, biggest, best splash I can make that it's going to, you know, where's it going to mean the most? New York City. So I am going to be submitting my script to two different festivals, and I hope that one of them, or both, will choose to produce it, and then I can decide which one.
Yeah, so what would that
I
mean?
I want to produce, and I want to go to New York this fall and produce this play in the theater district in New York City.
So if you got accepted, what would that mean? You'd go and perform it, they would help you polish it, they would produce it off-Broadway. What exactly would that mean?
And I believe it's off-Broadway. Get some good press, New York City press, and legitimize my work so that I can bring it to more theaters across the country. So that's why I chose New York City. I thought, what a great place to get recognized and noticed and then be able to use that as a springboard to bring this play to, you know, more theaters across the country.
Well, aren't there some very famous artists on the boards of these festivals? So
yes,
you get some people looking at your play who are very well known?
Yeah. The advisory board has some real famous big names that you would know if I mentioned them.
Well, why don't you mention them?
Whoopi Goldberg, Lily Tomlin, and others that I'm not able to recall right now. Those were the ones that really stood out. And those artists I love.
Right,
I think they're very talented artists that have made great contributions. And so that's exciting. I don't know if they will see the plays. I don't know. Anyway, my hope is, so if anyone's listening and you are on my team supporting this cause, please visualize that happening for me this fall in New York City, producing my play, Lost in Sound.
A one-woman show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so exciting. Yeah, and the second show's coming up basically less than a week away, Friday.
February 28th.
There's only 20 tickets left. Amazing, yeah. Going to be another sellout, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited. I'm going to be working from the booth this time, so I'm going to be one of your support people up in the sound booth with Larry, so two of us together.
And I'm looking forward to sharing my light and my experience and strength and hope with everyone. And, you know, my greatest joy from a performance is hearing what it's meant to people afterwards, hearing the testimonials of how it has inspired them to take action, to make a difference in their life, to go out and empower others and inspire others. That's my hope, is to give and just let that ripple effect spread out to, you know, more and more people. And so when I hear stories coming back from, you know, what people learned and how it's empowered them, that's the greatest joy. That's my greatest joy.
Right. And you have added a little bit of choreography to the show this time around. You got a dear friend to help choreograph the show. Let's do a shout
Janica
out.
Janica Durand.
Yep.
So a talented choreographer.
Awesome.
And she worked with me to choreograph this piece. And so that's a new thing that I'm doing, and that's really fun.
Awesome. We want to thank Janica for contributing to the show.
Yes.
She's a fantastic dancer and choreographer. She's helping out, and that's awesome. Anyway, so thanks for sharing, and I guess we'll do a wrap-up on this show for today and a nice update on the show and what's been going on. Thanks for listening to the Program Your Life podcast again.
Thank you for all your support. Appreciate it.
Right, so this is Joe and Kimberly Parker saying goodbye for now, and we'll see you again soon. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We were so happy to be able to share this episode of the Program Your Life podcast with you. Make sure to check us out at programyourlife.org, where you can always find our podcasts there. We're also going to have the podcasts on iTunes. in the iTunes store under podcasts, and then there'll be some on our YouTube channel. So look for us online, and we will talk to you again very, very soon. Thank you so much to the Program Your Life podcast. Until next time, this is Joe Parker signing off. Bye-bye.